we're back. James Strong, Living the Good Life, where life is good, with Antonio Greco and Trinka, producer, director, and actress from The Year After Infection. It's zombie talk here on The Good Life.
Details straight.
This is almost like this could be an episode of Coast to Coast with George Norrie almost.
Well, okay, I'm okay with that. So, before the break, we were talking about zombies, and I went back again to the George Romero thing, where in the original,
Night of the Living Dead, the original black and white film where they pulled out the intestines, etc.
Precisely, and that one, it was the recently deceased were coming back, whereas. You know, in that one, and I believe the remake, their explanation was there was a satellite that had crashed and it had caused, you know, some sort of weird radiation from space. I went a different route with this, in that part of the reason that they couldn't stop this from happening was because there was a virus, and because it was spread so quickly and nobody knew that they had it until they died, that, you know, that was the big reason why nobody could stop this one from happening. There's this great book. And it is basically a scientific exploration of zombieism, citing every major source for zombie films and stuff. And he has a great chapter on there about how a fast burn is much easier to contain than a slow burn, because you can't tell who's infected. And I just took it one step further and thought, well, if everybody's infected and they don't know it until they're dead, that's the hardest kind of thing to stop, because you're never going to know, you know, who's got it and who doesn't. And as it turns out, it's revealed later in the film. Not a major spoiler here, but everybody pretty much has it. That's why they couldn't develop a test that would actually find out who was and wasn't infected.
But as the film progresses, it kind of becomes painfully obvious that
if you die from anything other than blunt force head trauma, you're getting back up.
And the dead shall raise from the grave.
Exactly.
So. And I think the reason, in my opinion, the reason that zombie films are so intriguing is because everybody has had a nightmare about the return of the dead. Everybody has, at least once.
No, I don't think I have. This movie might be it.
Leave it to the Peaches girl to be an exception.
So, no, I mean, honestly, you know, again, I'm at that age now to where, you know, you start thinking about these things. As much as I hate to say that, I'm 40 now, so you know, I'm don't say it like that. But it's one of those things that I think that's the reason why I wanted to kind of tackle this topic, because you know, I wanted to also address, you know, things that doesn't occur to you at 26,
27.
So you know, it's just one of those things that you know, a lot of zombie films kind of treat it as a you know, cipher. Just, oh, hey, look, we got to find creative ways to beat this one to death. And that's what I wanted to avoid. You know, I wanted to deal with you know, much more personal issues than that. So, but yeah, death was definitely, you know, on my mind.
Well, now that the film is complete, the next thing to do is to market the film. How are you doing that? And for those of you who are intrigued by this interview and think, I've got to go out and see this film, when and where should it be out for public viewing?
We are submitting to film festivals right now. We're waiting to hear back from some film festivals. We're submitting to others right now. We plan on submitting the film to film festivals all over the country from now until, I believe, July. Because a lot of the horror film festivals that are all over the country, you submit then, and then the actual films play, you know, into October and November. But once we get through that phase of it, which is really, that's part of the marketing of the film, we do plan on selling the film on DVD and on Blu-ray through the website. So it will be available there. I don't have an exact date on that one, but, you know, again, we're basically right now really pushing to a lot of the horror websites and indie film websites out there that are really helping get us out there.
We're going to be able to see this in this area. I mean, most of the people in the Franklin County area, we're not going to be able to fly to Cannes or the Sundance Film Festival or Palm Springs. So we're going to be able to see it in this area.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've already spoken to the theater owners of the Tivoli and the High Point, so we do plan on having a local screening there. And not just, you know, for, you know, the fact that we're in St. Louis. But I mean, the other thing is that, you know, obviously everybody involved in this has friends and family that would love to see it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, you know, there's, you know, a little bit of ego build here, but there's something about seeing your own movie on a big screen in your hometown. So, you know, there's always that kick. So,
and there have been, especially recently, in the horror film genre, a number of indie filmmakers who have done very well with horror films.
Yes.
The name escapes me. What was the story about the monster in New York City?
Okay, that was Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield was actually J.J. Abrams. That was actually a large budget film parading as a small budget film.
Really?
But yes, absolutely. Okay. But there was a film called Monsters that was done on a very small budget. There was also Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity is the one I was thinking.
Paranormal Activity was done for, if I'm not mistaken, I would say it was $18,000, and it was all filmed in the actual writer-director's own house. Now, he did it in just, you know, he had a really quick shooting time. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not positive off the top of my head. But, yeah, these are all things that I was well aware of before we started this process, that yeah, we need to take this seriously. We need to do this right, because yes, of all the genres out there, this is the one that really has the potential to hit a mass audience. So there's a reason why there was, you know, some shots where we did 36 takes.
It's a hot topic right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot more fun than Shakespeare.
Well, you know what? It's a lot more relatable than Shakespeare, I think. I love Shakespeare, and I'm a huge fan of foreign cinema as well, but, you know.
Even Mel Gibson had a flop with Shakespeare.
Well.
Hamlet.
You know what? I actually kind of liked Hamlet.
I didn't say it was bad. I said, but it didn't make a nickel.
Kenneth Branagh did great with Shakespeare, though.
Who?
Kenneth Branagh. He was a director and actor.
Okay.
And
he most recently directed Thor.
Yes, he did.
So that should tell you how financially successful Shakespeare can be.
So your next film, Antonio, will be a Shakespeare film.
No. As much as I loved doing the zombie film, my next film, I already know it. The title of the film is Seed. At least that's the working
title.
Give
us a sneak preview. Quick sneak preview. We got under 2 minutes.
So quick sneak preview. It's science fiction.
Okay.
I want to jump genres, and I want to do the genre that I really, really love. And I'm a literal sci-fi. I love literature. And sadly, when you read sci-fi versus when you watch sci-fi, two very different things. A lot of sci-fi that's out there is very space opera. It's all big spaceships and space battles. There's very rarely a high concept or a reason why anything's going on. The only exceptions to that that I can think of recently are Gattaca and maybe Children of Men. And I want to kind of follow that vein. And it's not too far down the road, but there's some high concept to it. I'm not going to go too far into that one, but because I'm still working on the script. But
you've whet our appetite. Trinka, what's your next project?
Oh, goodness, I don't even know. At the moment, I'm 7 months pregnant, so going to be a while before I can audition for anything. So my next big project will be raising my daughter, I suppose.
Acting like a mom.
Acting like a mom. Oh, good. I don't actually get to be one. I just have to act. Okay.
You're a method actress. It's all good.
So your next project is kind of on hold for the foreseeable future.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have motherhood is you're going to have your hands full.
Yes.
You're going to have your hands full. Antonio, the website, a few more things about the film. Whet our appetite. Tell us something so that we're all going to want to run out and see and buy this film when it comes out.
It's an amazingly talented cast of people that really gave 1,000% for everything that they did. It's an original story idea. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead, you still haven't seen this. So let's just put it like that. The website, www.theyearafterinfection.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search The Year After Infection. And I think if you go there and take a look at the behind-the-scenes galleries, you'll kind of get a feel for what we were doing and what we were trying to accomplish without giving too much away story-wise or plot-wise on the show.
Check it out, folks. And I will give you updates on the Saturday James Strong Show and perhaps on the Good Life Show as well. So until next time, for Antonio Greco and for Trinka, the stars and directors of Year After Infection, this is James Strong, living the good life.